Society and its attitudes are constantly evolving, but discrimination or prejudice against individuals with disabilities still exists, even in portrayals of persons with disabilities in the media. Dr. Catalin Brilla is a university lecturer and filmmaker and has been exploring the stereotyping of persons with disability in the media. And in part one of our series on breaking down blind stereotypes in the media, we'll be examining an introduction to social stereotypes, why human beings are prone to them, and how they can lead to stigma of particular groups. And it's important to understand this fundamental concept of human life in order to discuss media representations of blindness, which we will do in the next episodes and in wider society. Dr. Brilla, lovely to talk with you.
Hi, Simon. Lovely to talk to you as well.
Now, it's a massive subject, this, but first of all, can we set the scene? What do we mean when we say stereotypes?
So stereotypes comes from the Greek words of stereos, which means firm or solid, and typos, which means impression. So essentially, it means the solid impression of an idea about something or someone. And stereotypes are basically standardized conceptions of people, mainly based on a person belonging to a category, to a group of people. And that group has characteristic traits that make the category distinct or different to other groups. So for example, we perceive all politicians to wear suits, drive for power, and use media to their advantage, and to spread their agenda and to mobilize people and inform policy change. So we have a very clearly defined idea of this group. We have stereotypes about politicians.
So are stereotypes wrong then, or are they false?
Well, stereotypes are neither right nor wrong. They're simplifications and classifications of the world. They simplify the information we process in order to produce spontaneous everyday judgments, and we do this more often than actual critical thinking. This means that we don't question or doubt the stereotypes we use in everyday life. We perceive them to be truthful and we depend on them. So we have to understand that stereotypes are essential mechanisms of our brain. They're essential cognitive mechanisms of our brain to understand and act within the world. So instead of seeing other individual people as unique and multi-layered characters, as people really are, we prefer to see them in categories as part of larger, distinct groups, which makes it easy for us to immediately recognize people from these groups. So for example, you go to a restaurant, you meet the waiter, and you don't usually evaluate individual character traits and circumstances of that waiter, but you rather expect them to take your order, serve the foods as quickly as possible, and so forth. So any more thinking and evaluation than that would overload our brain.
Are we as humans, are we not able to see through the dangers of stereotypes then?
Well, of course, we have the capacity to evaluate individual character traits and circumstances, and we can think analytically and more nuanced about the world. But in general, we tend to think in stereotypes simply because it's more economical, it's quicker, and it's more efficient for our brain. We also depend on stereotypes to establish a sense of normality. American writer Walter Lippmann said that stereotypes may not be a complete picture of the world, but they are a picture of a possible world to which we are adapted. So in that world, people and things have their well-known places and do certain expected things. We feel at home there, and we fit in, and we perceive it as a familiar and normal. So any disturbance of stereotypes seems like an attack on the foundation of this normality, and we feel disturbed. So we therefore need to understand that our tendency to think through stereotypes is very much hardwired. So it's a basic function of our brain, which has been developed as a survival mechanism throughout evolution and which really cannot be changed.
So how does the actual stereotyping mechanism work then?
So stereotypes usually work through simplification, generalization, and categorization. So we basically reduce people to some few characteristic traits and squeeze them into a group in which we perceive all people to have the same simplified traits. Think, for example, about icons, which work the same way stereotypes do. If you go to a toilet, on the toilet doors, if it's a binary toilet, you see a male icon, which is trousers, and you see a female icon, which is a skirt. So these are typical gender stereotypes. Stereotypes also often work in narratives. Our brain has a tendency to use everyday knowledge to predict and explain the behavior of other people by constructing little stories. And these stories have stereotypes. For instance, if we go back to the example of the waiter, you go to a restaurant and meet the waiter, we assume the waiter is well-trained in catering matters and in serving the customer. So we think about their past. We also think about the presence as a waiter and how they interact with us, which we expect to be a direct cause of their past training and experience. And we make predictions about their future behavior with us, for example, preparing the bill, not overcharging us, and so forth. So we really think in these past, present, future narratives with stereotypical views of the characters of these stories. So this narrativization of stereotypes is one reason why we are really not aware of using stereotypes, because we are so immersed in these little narratives of what we perceive in the normal world and what we perceive as being normal, and we don't question that word. And by the way, these are mechanisms that are tested, so we are not aware of them. They are in our subconscious, and we simply live them and use them without realizing it.
Well, talking of words, what does the word normal mean then when it comes to terms of stereotyping?
Well, essentially, stereotypes are about establishing differences between us and them. So in social psychology, this is called the in-group and the out-group. And this is beautifully quoted by Richard Dyer, a film scholar, who explains that stereotypes are created by the in-group and attached to an out-group. And these are the ones excluded by the norms of the in-group. So the out-group members are the other. They're perceived as abnormal, as deviant. So creating stereotypes about an out-group helps the in-group to maintain a difference and affirm its own identity. So essentially, stereotypes are a mechanism of maintaining difference between me and someone else and affirming my own identity. And difference is essential to us human beings and to meaning. For example, only through the difference between black and white, we understand what black or what white means.
Can stereotypes change?
So, as I said earlier, stereotypes are hardwired brain mechanisms, and whether stereotypes themselves can change, the problem is that stereotypes are fixed and very, very persistent perceptions. They're very difficult to change because they're so simplified and so rigid. So, for example, when it comes to the perception and representation of blindness, there have been two persistent stereotypes. One, the blind person as an unfortunate who has been deprived of humanity's most precious gift, which is obviously the ability to see. And we can see this, for instance, in Pieter Bruegel's painting, The Blind Leading the Blind. The second stereotype is the blind person as possessing a mysterious link with a supernatural reality, which we can see in the example of Tiresias, the blind prophet in Greek mythology. And these two stereotypes can be really traced back throughout human history in folklore, art, literature, and any other medium, as we'll see also in our next episodes about films. So these stereotypes of blindness have been used by seeing people, or non-blind people to use the binary, to maintain the boundary between themselves, i.e. the in-group, and blind people, which is the out-group. And of course, it has led to social inequalities and the oppression of blind people and disabled people in general. It has created and maintains the typical binaries of able versus disabled, normal versus abnormal, and superior versus inferior. And stereotypes very often work in these binaries, and because our brain is prone to work in binaries, stereotypes are very, very persistent and difficult to change. But let's keep in mind that not all stereotypes lead to social inequality and oppression. But the ones that do can have severe negative consequences on the outgroup. This is also confirmed by studies in social psychology. So, for example, it has been shown that disability stereotypes tend to be paternalistic. This means that non-disabled people usually view disabled people as inferior, which tends to trigger pity and which results in the behavior of passive harm, often in the form of isolation and avoidance. But stereotypes of disability also contribute to the identity formation of disabled people themselves. So they may adopt self-stigmatizing attitudes and behaviors, which is called the Pygmalion effect, that also affects their self-esteem, self-perception, and social performance. Think, for example, about job interviews or school kids in schools where disabled people may perform worse simply because of public perception, not because their actual abilities. So stereotypes created by the in-group can have really severe implications for people of the out-group themselves. And coming back to the dynamic of in-group and out-group, these are terms that are very relative. So in-groups and out-groups can also exist within the out-group. So, for example, disabled people themselves will categorize themselves based on different traits and have out-groups within their own group. So in-group and out-group is really a relative concept that needs to be seen in a particular context from a particular perspective.
Well, we are going to go on to develop this throughout the series, Catalin, but in the general context of social stereotypes, how is social stigma created and what are the implications?
So social stigma is usually created by having stereotypes within particular representations of the out-group. So you have to think about that if I don't know someone from the out-group personally, the only impression or idea I have of them is through representations. And this means representations in media, in literature, in art, things I've heard from other people, which themselves are representations through the language they use and the ideas they use. So if I don't have a particular a personal relationship with someone from an out-group, I only rely on representations, and representations tend to be stereotypical. So in that case, my likelihood to maintain stereotypes and keep the social stigma of this out-group is much, much higher. So when we talk, for example, about media representations of disability, we talk about stereotypes that relate to non-disabled people that usually don't have a personalized relationship with disabled people. And this is something we'll explore further.
Well, it's something that we take for granted. I think we're not even aware of how much stereotyping affects us, but we will develop this throughout the series. If you would like to hear this interview again, all you have to do is head to Audio Boom and search for RNIB Podcasts and Conversations, and you just search for Breaking Blind Stereotypes. But in the meantime, Dr. Catalin Brilla, I look forward to our next chat.
Thank you very much, Simon. I'm looking forward to it too.